Why do good things happen to rotten people? I'm going to tell you personally, on a personal level, this is one of the most difficult things for me to accept and deal with on a regular basis. It is one of the most aggravating, frustrating, nauseating. It makes me just volatile. Almost to the point, you know, when you're watching television and you see that those slimeball Menendez brothers have a movie made of them and they're going to make money, you want to pick up the television and slam it against the wall. Anybody ever feel that way? Well, I'm glad there's just a few here who can relate to me. Some of you need to learn to hate what is evil just a little bit more. That's the truth. But I'm serious. You ask yourself, why is it that some of the most wretched, perverted, disgusting individuals are so successful? Like Madonna. I mean, you just think about it for a minute. I mean, this individual's just disgusting. Or Lorena Bobbitt. Or let's think about a guy named Ted in Washington, lovingly referred to as Teddy, whose father made all their money running illegal liquor during Prohibition. How in the world do these individuals get back? Or look at Bob Packwood. I mean, my goodness, it just defies the imagination. And so you're trying as a parent to teach your children to be good, to be a person of integrity, but everywhere you look, whether it's our politicians or whether it's Hollywood, you go to the East Coast or the West Coast, see? You got it on both sides. Rotten people succeed. Rotten people are successful. The bottom line is, in America, crime pays. We try to teach our kids that it doesn't, but in many respects, being deceitful, cheating, lying, being perverted, being immoral, cheating on your wife, it pays off. And these people are rewarded, and they make lots of money, and movies are made about their life. That's the reality, isn't it? When you really are honest, all you got to do is walk by the tabloids or open your newspaper or turn on your news and you read about another person who, quite frankly, shouldn't succeed, but they are. And not only are they succeeding, but if they were to come to town, thousands of people would line up to pay money to see them. And yet at the same time, our society cries out for fairness, equality, no discrimination. We are a schizophrenic people. You know what I'm saying? It's quite obvious by the fact that with our heart that we don't really honor things that are right. We honor things that are wrong. And so I wanted to talk this morning about why this happens in our world. Why does this kind of discrepancy goes on? I think it's obvious that the world you and I live in plays by a different set of rules. How many of you could relate to the job story? You got your own job story. Raise your hand. You got your own job story like Doug did this morning. You've had that happen on your job? I hope you have. I'm sure most of you have been in a situation. We could just have open mic Sunday, and I could just go around, and someday I'll do that, scare you half to death. Say, why don't you just step right up here? Come on. And tell your story. Because whether you're male or female, you got a situation that hit very close to home of an individual. You're trying to do your very best on your job, and this individual's coming in late, making excuses, lying, or a lot of other things that I could mention, and they succeed, and they get the promotion, and it's just unbelievable to understand. I hope to try to help you understand that this morning. I want to read you a verse out of John chapter 15. Jesus says this to his disciples. If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted and abused me, they will persecute and abuse you. The Message Bible says it this way. If you lived on the world's terms, it would love you as one of its own. But since I picked you to live on God's terms, and no longer on the world's terms, the world is going to hate you. This is a very important principle to understand in your life. Otherwise, you'll be tempted on a regular basis to compromise. You will compromise your reputation, your integrity, and your honesty. and your personhood because there's compelling reasons to do so. Let's just be honest. Being crooked pays off. Cheaters succeed. People who cheat, people who sleep late, people who go out and get drunk, show up the next morning. I could give you example after example of close personal friends that I have and have this very situation going on in their job. And they regularly work hard and they do things by the book. They do things honestly and they are reprimanded. And those who are doing things deceitfully, dishonorably, are praised and given more money. Why is it going on? Because the world bestows its blessing on its own. It plays favorites. It discriminates against those who would like to do things that are right. I'll give you an example. Now, I'm not trying in any way here, when I give you this example, to be political. I'm not. I'm just trying to use this. And for many of us, this area is so highly sensitized that you may miss my whole point. But to give you an example of how an individual who tries to stand for something right is cannibalized, you don't have to look any farther than Dan Quayle. Now, I don't know Dan personally. I've read some of the things that he's written, and I can tell you, if I could write, I'd write the same things. The man's absolutely cannibalized for trying to stand up for morality, for righteousness, for good, wholesome things. But I'm telling you, if this man had cheated on his wife and had affairs and he was a little deceitful, why, he'd be just a wonderful guy. We trust the country with him. You understand, don't you? You understand? I didn't mean that political. I'm just trying to say to you, you understand the discrepancy in our country? People who try to do what's right are absolutely eaten alive. They're just eaten alive. Jesus predicted this. Jesus promise this. This is a discrimination to be proud of. Because it's a mark that you're His. It's a mark that you're His. And so, you see, as long as you and I live on this planet, you have to understand what's going on. There are two worlds. There's not one world. You know, you see this kind of stuff on Star Trek and you think it's, you know, there's like these parallel universes, a universe inside another universe. Well, that's the truth. That's what's going on. There is the secular world and there is the sacred. And God is calling people out of the secular world. He's making them His children. And there's a tremendous animosity from one to the other. And Jesus, He didn't tell us to hate back. He told us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. But they will persecute you. They will abuse you. They will take advantage of you. They will malign you. Let me share with you a passage out of the book of Luke. You know, as a Christian, for a long time in my life, if I was going to be honest, the Beatitudes never made a whole lot of sense to me. I'd read them, I think, and I'd hear guys doing messages on them. I think, how in the world do you do a message on the Beatitudes? Until recently, as I began to think about why good things happen to rotten people, they started to make sense in a way to me that they've never made that much sense before. Let me read them what Jesus said. He looked at His disciples and He said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and they exclude you, and they insult you, and they abuse you, and they reject your name as evil because of Me. Rejoice in that day and jump up and down for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets." Now, I used to read this and think, what does this mean? Do I need to be poor? Do I need to be starving all the time in order to be blessed? That's not what it means at all. It means that as you live for God, as you just live your life with morality, with honesty, with integrity, because of Christ, you will suffer because of it. I'm telling you that right. You're not going to get the raises that other people get. You're not going to get you're going to have harsh things said, and you're going to walk away with tears in your eyes. I had a friend recently, just a couple weeks ago, been working at this company, working so hard for them. He made his first year there, he made his first year goal. He's gone in early. He's worked hard. He's been honest. He's tried to help others get business, other people that he works for. Went in for his review. They broke promises that they gave him. They laid into him. They told him he was doing this and he wasn't doing that. He called me on the phone. He said, "Mark, what's going on?" And I said, "Brother, leap for joy. Let's jump up and down a little bit. You see, you've never said a word to them about your faith. They just know. You represent God to them." Have you ever thought about the Lord Jesus? Have you ever really just pondered for a moment this man who went everywhere he went, he did nice things to everybody. He made him well. I'm reminded of the time, I've often wished I could do this. I wish so bad. When I tell you this story, you'll understand. I've dreamed about driving on the highway, because I've been stuck many times in a funeral procession, and being able to drive really fast around him, pull in front of the cop who's in front, and stop the whole thing right in the middle of the highway. Walk up to the hearse, pull the back end open, open the casket and say, "Rise and walk." I mean, can you imagine that? That's what the Lord did. One day, this is a little old lady. She didn't have, her husband was dead. She was a poor widow woman. And her only son, who helped support her, had died. And Jesus is walking along with his disciples. He'd be driving, you know, if it was today, but he's walking then. So he'd be going down the freeway. And you can imagine this with his son. He sees this little old woman. And she's crying and she's crying and she's crying. She didn't even ask Jesus to do a thing. He walks right up to the funeral. He says, "Stop." And you can imagine everybody. And he walks up to the young man who's laying, you know, of course, all on this big thing. And he says, "Get up and walk." And right on the spot, and he presents this son alive back to his mother. Everywhere Jesus went. Oh, the people that Jesus couldn't even take a meal. At one point, there were so many people coming to his house. He was healing them. He was making them well. You remember the 10 lepers he healed? Out of 10, one came back and said, "Oh, by the way, thanks, Jesus." 1 out of 10. And then one particular time, these guys climbed up on the roof. It was so busy. Healing business just was going on and on. And so they cut a hole in the roof and they let the guy down. And Jesus just heals him. The same crowd is screaming, "Kill him! Kill him and give us Barabbas!" Can you imagine you? People go, "Kill him! Kill him and give us Danny Rawling! Give us Jeffrey Dahmer!" Can you imagine that? If they hated him, they're going to hate you, but they love their own. They love their own. Their own can get away with murder and they'll pay them and they'll make movies about them. That's why good things happen to rotten people. But you have something to be proud of. This is a discrimination that is something to be proud of. You see, the Bible tells us, woe to you when everybody speaks well of you all the time. Everybody just thinks you're wonderful. And we want that, don't we? That's why this friend of mine, he called. He said, "Mark, this really hurt. You know, this really bothered me a lot. This individual wanted to be liked. He was trying to. He was trying to have a good impact on his job. And it hurts." That's what it means when it says, "Blessed are you who weep now, because you will weep." You're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to be poorer than those who are corrupt and deceitful. You don't believe that, then you've never read the Bible before. It's the truth. Over and over again, the book of Proverbs says, better to be poor than rich and a liar. In the society that we live in the secular world that we live in, you can succeed more if you break rules. Books are written about it. Secret to intimidation. How to get what you want by intimidating people. Exactly contrary to the things that Jesus says in the Bible. You know, to be honest, this is the very reason my father left my mom. 13, 14 years ago, my dad just up and took off. And the sole reason my father left was because my mother would not compromise with her faith. My father and mother, when they got married, My father did not know Christ. Shortly after they got married, he came to know the Lord. We lived in Iowa. I was born about a year later. We lived in California. My father was just a very radical man for Christ. He shared his faith with everyone. My father grew up dirt poor. His father was killed when he was six. He grew up during the Depression years. They grew up with nothing. And my father had lived a pretty ragged life. Christ changed his life. He used to take me down on the Skid Row missions of Los Angeles as a young boy, as a little boy, and he would share people, and people come to know the Lord. But as years went by, my father began to drift, and he began to drift, and he began to drift. Finally, not only did he drift, he just was repulsed by God. He didn't want to hear anything about God. He didn't want to pray. He would do just the opposite. He would sit at our supper table and espouse Marxism. He would hold up John Lennon. He would talk about how good Adolf Hitler was. We're talking about 180 degree about face. And my mother, I remember as a young boy, I remember my mother just sitting there and the tears rolling down her face. It just cut her heart out that this is what had happened to her husband. And sometimes she couldn't take it anymore. She'd just excuse herself. She'd go in the bedroom with her heart ripped out that he would try to indoctrinate the six children who they'd set out to raise for God into Marxism and philosophies of the world. And my father, he would badger her and badger her and badger her. He was every bit as verbal as I am, if not more. And one day, he just left her. Left her with the house, left her with two mortgages on the house, left her with the kids, never sent a dime home, never divorced her, never wrote back, just left. I was so proud of my mom. My mom loved him. She never has divorced him. She loves him. She forgave him. If he turned back to God. But I'll tell you something. You've got to understand that rotten people are going to succeed in this world in a way that you won't. Your reward is coming. Yours is coming. I remember working at a particular job that I had. And I was selling these auto parts. And I worked for this guy who was just, in my view, probably the most despicable human being I've ever known. He was just perverted. He was just a moral reprobate. And he was always pushing, always driving everybody. One particular time, I got these calendars sent over to me to hand out. And they weren't really pornographic, but they were pretty close to the edge. And I knew this territory is built on my reputation, and I'm not handing them out. So I bypassed him because I knew it would be futile to talk to him. The Bible says leave the presence of a fool. Don't even speak to them because they're a fool. And this is what this man was. So I called the vice president of the company who was a good friend. We had a good rapport. And I said, Kenny, he said, Mark, hey, to what do I owe this call? I said, well, I just wanted to tell you that I appreciated you getting calendars for us. You know, because this company has never done that kind of thing before. And I appreciate the fact you're trying to look out for the salesman. He said, well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I said, but Kenny, I said, listen, the calendar you sent me, I can't hand out. For two reasons. One, because this store is built on my reputation. And I think it would compromise me and it would not be in the best interest of this company for me to do so. And second, I'm not a lingerie salesman. And I sell auto parts. So he goes, oh my gosh. He says, Mark, I'm so sorry. You weren't supposed to get those. We had antique cars printed up for you. Now, I've never said anything to these guys, right? I've never said anything, ever. I never carried my Bible into work, sat it on the desk, and hung verses on the wall over my desk. I just walked with integrity. I just didn't go along with their perversion. That was all. And so I said, well, hey, that's all right, you know, and I'll send them back to you when the truck comes, and I'll take the other ones. He says, oh, well, that'd be great. Well, this got around the company, the other 30 stores, in less than 24 hours. All over, every store all over Iowa knew about this, that was in my territory. The next morning, I get to work about 7 o'clock, and here's old Mr. Pervert himself. He's in my face. I mean, he's this far from me. He is stark raving mad. The veins in his neck are sticking out. How dare you go above my head? What do you think you're doing calling Cedar Rapids? I said, well, it's quite obvious why I called them. You're an unreasonable man, Don. You're an unreasonable man. I was practicing my messages way before this, you know. And I said, he said, well, you blankety blank will hand those counters out. And I said, no, I won't. He said, well, your job's at stake. I said, my job's meaningless, Don. I would never compromise my integrity for your job. Not to mention the fact that the territory's doubled and you ain't a commission on me and you haven't made this much off this territory in years, Don. So I don't think you'll fire me. But if you do, you do. Now, I wasn't a single guy. I had two little babies at home. I'd have another job lined up. My integrity meant more. God meant more. Oh, he just kind of kept ranting and raving. Said, well, okay, you don't have to, but the store manager will. I said, no, the store manager won't. Nobody in this region will pass out these to my customers. They're mine. I had to go out and get them. Oh, you had, Don, I've been thrown out of stores in this town because of you. And I've had to rebuild this thing, and I'm not going to go out and tear down the trust level I've developed by handing these out. You can take them back. You can have them. Why? You can pass out double to your customers. But I'm not taking them. So he left. A few weeks later, I went to this big sales outing they had for the wives and the husbands, this big motel, and we went to this big college basketball game. And you start the night out by going down to the hospitality room, which is a room with all the bed and stuff out and everybody's drinking. So I go down, my wife and I, and I go walking in, and the room's full of people. As soon as I go walking in, I hear this, oh, there's Mr. Holier Than Thou and his holy woman. And the whole place is really quiet. So I'm thinking, preach, this is a great opportunity. Great opportunity. Repent! You know, and I was thinking something like that. And then I said to myself, I said, no, I don't think this is the time. So I said, Wally, that was supposed to be our secret. Nobody's supposed to know I'm that holy. Everybody kind of, the tension was gone. And I went right over to him, put my arm around him. He'd had a few too many. And I said, Benson, what's the matter with you, Wally? He says, hey, you think you're better than all of us? He says, everybody knows that you didn't hand those out. You think you're so good and we're all so bad? And I said, I'm not good at all, Wally. I said, I'm no different than anybody else in this room. And wasn't for Christ in my life, I'd be nothing. I'd be absolutely nothing. So we began to talk, and I used to have to ride with these guys over to the sales meetings, and the conversation for you men, I don't know, you know, women are different. Women get on other things, but men tend to talk about women all the time in a very derogatory. They use certain words. I'm not going to use them this morning, but it always comes up. And so I'd be sitting staring out the window. You know, sometimes they directed at me, and one day they directed it at me. And I said, you know, you guys, you're really sad. You're really sad. I really feel for your wives. You're so hypocritical. If your wives were in this car right now, you'd never talk this way. You guys are so empty. You're so empty. And I used to be this empty. But not anymore. And it was just a dead silence, you know, in the car. About 4 weeks later, this salesman, you know what I was telling you about? He came to know the Lord. He called me and asked me to drive 3 hours over to Newton, Iowa. And said, will you come over? I want to know what you have. I've never met anybody like this. His life was so falling apart in his family. I'll tell you something. Let me read to you in closing this passage out of Psalm 73. I want to read you the last part. I asked Doug to save it for me and read you what the rest says here. It says, have I been wasting my time? Why take the trouble to be pure? All I get out of trouble and woe every day and all day long. If I had really said that, I would have been a traitor to your people. Yet it's so hard to explain this prosperity of those who hate the Lord. Then one day I went into God's sanctuary to meditate, and I thought about the future of these evil men. What a slippery path they're on. Suddenly God will send them sliding over the edge of the cliff and down to their own destruction. An instant end to all their happiness and eternity of terror. Their present life is only a dream. They will awaken to the truth as one awakens from a dream of things that never really were. When I saw this, what turmoil filled my heart. I saw myself so stupid and so ignorant. I must seem like an animal to you, God, but even so you love me. You're holding my right hand. You keep on guiding me all my life with your wisdom and counsel. And afterwards you receive me into the glories of heaven. Whom have I in heaven but you? And I desire no one on earth as much as you. My health fails, my spirit droops, yet God remains. He is the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. God is our reward. Heaven is our reward. And you will have things there that will blow your mind, and you will have them forever and ever and ever and ever. I want to encourage you this morning that you, when you are discriminated against, it is something to be proud of. Don't get down. Don't get discouraged. Don't get dismayed. Go back to this and jump up and down for joy. Literally, it'll do you a lot of good. I'll never forget going to meet Kathy's parents, and I was just trying to honor them. I was trying to ask them for the permission to marry their daughter. I didn't really say anything other than, may I marry your daughter? We'd like to know if you'd think about it. And they laughed. They just laughed. That's all I said, and then they laughed. And then they just began ridicule after ridicule after ridicule. And then they kicked me out. I said nothing more from that time on. And I remember driving back, all the way back, because they made her stay there. I remember driving those 12 hours back. I never wept so hard in my life. Tears. When David says tears are my food, they just come into my eyes and into my mouth. And just down. I could not figure this out. A couple days later, I was reading over this particular passage. And the Bible said, blessed are you when people insult you and reject you and say evil things about you because of me. Blessed are you. Leap and jump for joy. And I thought, well, I might as well obey. And I started jumping up and down. I was out in the woods. And I just started saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that I have been worthy in some little way to suffer because of you in my life. That's the way it's going to be. The only way that it won't be that way is if you compromise. And if you compromise, it leads you out. And when you have nothing left to show for your life, don't compromise. The prosperity isn't worth it. God's doing something marvelous in your life, and one day He'll reward you in ways that'll just blow your mind. It'll be the greatest review you ever had. Next week, we're going to talk about why there's so much pain and so much suffering in the world, and what is God going to do about it? Let's pray. Lord, thank you this morning. Thank you for the good news, Lord, of your word. Thank you so much, Lord, that you've called us out of it and you've given us new principles to live by. Yeah, we don't use the same language other people use. We don't laugh at the same things they laugh at. We don't honor and adore the same things they honor and adore. But thank you, Lord, I'll tell you, I would rather be liked by you than liked by society. I'd rather, Lord, be liked by you than loved by the world. Thank you so much for the privilege of knowing you. As the song Jay and Lisa sang this morning, Lord, we're so glad we know you. Thank you that you're real. Thank you that you're alive. Lord, thank you that you set the example for us. There's never been a more decent, wonderful, loving human being than you. Look what they did to you. And they freed Barabbas. Thank you, Lord, you did it because you loved us. In Jesus' name.